Osho, this, a thousand times this, the very essence of Zen. Talks given at the Osho Commune International, Pune, India. Discourse number 8.
Beloved Bhagwan, one night Issa and Ryu was in attendance on Hyakujo, sitting till late in the quietness of the mountain temple. Who are you? Hyakujo asked. Ryu, replied Isan. Rake in the fireplace, said Hyakujo. Isan did as he was told and said, I find no embers left. Hyakujo took up the tongs and, raking deep down, brought up a tiny burning ember, which he showed to Isan and said, just this, you see. Isan was suddenly enlightened. He made deep bows and presented his views to Hyakujo, who said, you have reached a crossroads on the journey. It is said in the sutra, if you want to see Buddha nature, you should observe time and causation. When the time comes, you will realize it, just like remembering something you have forgotten. It is not obtained from others. Therefore, when you are enlightened, it is just like when you were not enlightened. No mind, no Dharma. If only you have no delusion and no discrimination between the Buddha and the unenlightened, your original nature manifests itself. Now you have attained it. Mindfully cultivate it.
Manisa, Zen is your very heart. It is not an achievement. You already have it. It is only a recognition this is small anecdote is tremendously important compared to great religious scriptures which says so much without saying anything. These small anecdotes say so much without even using a word. Their language is a existence. It is neither Hebrew, nor Arabic, nor Sanskrit. The bamboos understand it as much as you. It is the very language of being alive. Only dead people are deaf. And vice versa is also true. Those who are deaf are dead. One night, his son Raiku was in attendance on Hayakujo, sitting till late in the quietness of the mountain temple. You can feel the situation in which Izan was sitting close to Hayakujo. "Who are you?" Hayakujo asked. Not that he is asking his name, he knows it. He has been one of his long-standing disciples. He is not asking anything concerning his personality. He knows every layer of it. He is asking directly who is therein. Within all these clothes, the body, the bones, the mind, the thoughts, who is there at the very innermost core? Who are you? Hayakujo asked. Raiku replied, "Isan, rake in the fireplace," said Hayakujo. Izan did as he was told and said, "I found no embers left." Hayakujo took up the tongs and, raking deep down, brought up a tiny burning ember, which he showed to Isan and said, "Just this, you see, I want to say to you also. Just this, do you see the silence, the joy, the chit-chatting of the bamboos? Do you see the flame of your being? Isan was suddenly enlightened. He made deep bows and presented his views to Hayakujo, who said, "You have reached a crossroads on the journey. It is said in the sutras, if you want to see the Buddha nature, you should observe time and causation When the time comes, you will realize it just like remembering something you have forgotten. This is immensely significant to understand. That you are not lost. You have just forgotten who you are. And the most laughing thing is you are asking others, who am I? Whatever you know about yourself is not you. The knower within you is beyond the reach of your mind. You cannot think about it. You can simply be. And the sutra coming from Gautam Buddha says it is a remembering. You must have all felt once in a while, in all the languages of the world, the expression exists that it is just on my tongue, a name. You can even see the face. You know that you know the name. It is just on the tip of your tongue. But it is not coming out. And the harder you try, the narrower becomes a space from which the forgotten can become again a recognition. A point comes, you drop it out. One can go only so far. You cannot drive yourself absolutely mad. You just go out for a morning walk or just start digging in your garden, and suddenly, out of nowhere, the name is remembered. You had never forgotten it. Then what was the mechanism that was preventing it to come to the surface? That mechanism is the whole psychology of the Buddhas. The more your mind is full of thoughts, tensions, worries, you are far away from yourself. The moment the mind is silent, you suddenly centered in your very being, and there is no other greater ecstasy, no other greater blissfulness than to know who you are, to know the inner space is to know all. It is unlimited silence, but not dead. It is alive with songs of its own, with dances of its own. Of course, they belong to a totally different strata. You see Gautam Buddha sitting in the lotus posture. That is from the outside a photograph. I see him from inside. He is not sitting in the lotus posture. He is dancing madly. From eternity to eternity, his dance goes on and on, becoming more and more juicier. More and more flowers start opening in the innermost being. Even the silence is fragrant. It is not something special. Hayakuju is pointing to his disciple that it is the most natural, simple experience. Just don't ask to be special, and it is yours. Just don't go on a journey of power, and it is yours. Just don't even seek it, and you have found it. It is your very nature. Even if you try to drop it somewhere, throw it somewhere, it is not possible. There is no way not to be a Buddha. Yes, there is a little difference, not worth calling even a difference. Few Buddhas are asleep. Few Buddhas are awake. Those who are awake were asleep before. Those who are asleep now will be in their own time of ripening. Blossoming Buddhas. The difference is not there at all. A tremendous statement. The Sutra of Gautam Buddha says, it is not obtained from others. Therefore, when you are enlightened, it is just like when you were not enlightened. Please see the beauty of it and the depth of it. No mind, no dharma, and no discrimination between the Buddha and the unenlightened. Your original nature manifests itself. Now you have attained it. Mindfully cultivate it. Even if you have attained the insight, you will have to remember it again and again just because of your old habits of judgment that somebody is enlightened and somebody else is not enlightened. Thousand and one times I have been asked, what are the qualities of a Buddha? I am not an old traditional Zen master. Otherwise, anybody who asks what is Buddha deserves a good hit on the head, so he becomes awake. The Zen master, Niskriya, unfortunately is not here. He is the first German Zen master. And you know, a Japanese hit is one thing. And a German hit is bound to make you awaken. He has gone to Germany just to make arrangements to come back again here to help the sleeping ones. He is the reincarnation of Sekito, the stone head. When he comes, I am going to ask him, would you like to change your name to your original name, Sekito? The stone head. Just before leaving yesterday, he was hiding his head in a China cap. But hiding a stone head does not make much sense. He was still having his staff. This staff came into being in Zen tradition as a symbol that this is the only difference between the awakened and the not awakened. Hit hard and everybody is going to wake up. If you cannot wake up here, where even the drums of Nivedana are becoming enlightened, then it is very unfortunate. Hayakujo is also known as Paichen. He became enlightened when studying under Basho together with Nansen. Basho said of him, Zen is with Hayakujo. Basho's certificate. is more than one can expect. It is said that he was clever and gentle and he had nothing ostentatious about him. He was invited to the great temple at Mount Hayakujo, from which he took his name. Many disciples gathered around him, among them one such as Obaku, also known as Huangpo, and Izan. Manisa is asking, beloved Bhagwan, when one talks to someone, it is with the assumption that the other person can hear. One would not speak to a deaf person, but you are only talking to us until we begin to hear you. Are not you? Manisa, it is the unfortunate destiny of every master to speak to those who cannot hear. To show this symbolically, Bodhidharma, the most famous name in the world of Zen, remained speaking for 9 years facing the wall. The audience used to sit behind him, not in front of him. In front of him was just a wall. For 9 years he was again and again asked that, what kind of man you are? We have heard many masters, many teachers, many preachers. They always face their audience with tears in his eyes. Bodhidharma said, it makes no difference. On both the sides are deaf walls. This wall at least does not disappoint me. I know it is a wall, so there is no question of disappointment. But if I turn towards you and find you just like a wall, it will be very much disappointing. I will wait for those who are open like doors and not closed like walls. His first disciple stood 12 hours behind him, skin deep into snow. Without saying a single word, he cut his hand and threw it before Bodhidharma and said, if you don't turn towards me, I am going to cut my head. Bodhidharma said, wait, you have done enough. This one-handed man became his first disciple. It is obvious that his desire to know was keener than even to live. That his inquiry was intense fire in which he was ready to burn himself. But that's why I say again and again, those beautiful days, those golden moments when such people exist as Bodhidharma, not alone, hundreds of Bodhidharmas have existed. But slowly, slowly they have disappeared. Even in the Buddhist countries where these phenomenal beings appear, Zen now is only an academic study. I want it to be declared to the world that this is the only place where Zen is not an academic study. We are trying to live it. We are trying to our utmost to bring a great experience back to life. Manisha's second question is, beloved Bhagwan, I remember you speaking some time ago about Zen in comparison with Krishnamurti and Gurdjieff's work, saying, if I understood correctly, that where Krishnamurti and Gurdjieff worked with the active mind, Zen worked with the inactive mind. Your work, I heard you say, was to help us to go beyond both active and inactive minds to find the transcendental, that is consciousness. Manisha, you have heard me rightly. Mind has two sides. It can be active, it can be inactive. But even in its inactivity, it is there. It is its backyard. And to be truly conscious, to be authentically a Buddha, one has to go beyond both the active and the inactive. She has also asked, when we do gibberish followed by silence, are we experiencing the active, then the inactive mind? And is it possible that we can experience the transcendental doing the let go? Can one have moments of consciousness before being totally and irrevocably conscious? The whole method is managed in the same way you are describing it. Gibberish is to get rid of the active mind. Silence to get rid of the inactive mind. And let go is to enter into the transcendental. And don't think that it is something special, only special people can do. You are doing it. Just you have to recognize it. You have to realize the fact of your dignity. The whole society has destroyed you, spoiled you, undermined you, repressed every possibility of your reaching to yourself. And the whole world is against me because I am doing exactly the opposite. I am trying to bring the individual back into the world. The world has killed the individual completely. Just today, I have received an invitation from a small commune of friends in New Zealand. They have a beautiful place. They have sent pictures of a river surrounded with ancient forests. High rising mountains, you can see the whole range of mountains capped with snow, and they wanted me to come there and have my commune there. They are ready to make available as much land as possible, but they don't understand that their government will not allow a dangerous man like me in their country. First, they should ask their government before they invite me. The politician is the enemy of man. The politician represents the past, the dead, all the graveyards. And my work is to bring even those who have been long dead out of their graves. They try hard not to come out, but I have my own means. I tell them gibberish. Do gibberish if you cannot do anything. At least that will prove that you can breathe. And then we can go on from there. And remember, when I am talking about graves, I am talking about you. Before we go into these three stages, remember, if you are doing something, do it totally. Otherwise, there is no point in doing it. I will prepare the ground by a few laughters. That is always cleansing, strengthening, makes you aware that if you can laugh, you are not dead. Fanny goes to her dentist and complains about a toothache. Is it very painful? Asks Dr. Floss, adjusting the chair. Yes, it is, replies Fanny. All right, Miss Pringle, says Floss, turning to his assistant, you can leave us now. Miss Pringle goes out quietly, and the dentist and his patient are left alone. Darling, says Floss, embracing his patient, we can't go on meeting like this. But why not? Where's Fanny? Because, says Floss, you have only got one tooth left. Fergus Cratchit, the 70-year-old Scotsman, hobbles into his favorite pub to suit the breeze with his friends. Fergus has recently married a 19-year-old girl, and several of the men at the bar buy him drinks and ask him to tell about his wedding night. My youngest son, Kenneth, lifted me unto the bed where my lovely bride was waiting for me, recounts Fergus. And the next morning, my three older sons carried me off the bed. The men gathered at the bar, scratching their heads, and then asked Fergus why it needed three sons to take him off when he needed only one son to put him on. It is obvious, replies Fergus proudly, I fought them. Now be ready. Nivedana, the first
absolute silence. Close your eyes. No movement of body or mind. Just be at the very deep. This this is the very essence of Zen. Just rejoice in it. Nivedana, the second. Everybody dies completely. Even if the dead go on breathing, don't be worried. You be dead. This will give you a taste of the transcendental. Nivedanam, everybody comes back to life. Really, it is no laughing matter. Few are still dead. Nivedanam, a good beat. Okay, Manisha.
Yes, Bhagwan.